with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. In today's program, we grapple with a subject that has the likelihood of impacting all of us in some way. It is a disability which is on the increase and which has no cure. I'm talking about Alzheimer's disease, the most common type of dementia. The growing incidence of Alzheimer's has massive implications for the social and economic health of future generations. We hope the topic of today's conversation may help, in some small way, to have a positive impact. Until now, apart from undergoing medical tests, there has been no method of easily assessing the future risk of getting Alzheimer's. However, a team led by Professor Karen Anstey and Dr. Nicolas Charbonne in the Centre for Research on Ageing, Health and Wellbeing at the ANU College of Medicine, Biology and Environment have developed a solution. They have created an evidence-based, validated online tool aimed at assessing individual exposure to risk factors known to be associated with an increased risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. To investigate this assistive tool further, Barbara Sullivan spoke by phone to Dr. Charbonne, ARC Future Fellow and Director of the Neuroimaging and Brain Laboratory at the Centre.
Hello, Nick. If I may call you Nick.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for inviting me on your program.
Excellent to have you here. Now, the main topic for our discussion is the Alzheimer's Disease Risk Index tool, but first can we talk a little bit about the disease itself? Is Alzheimer's disease the same as dementia?
Not quite. Alzheimer's disease is a type of dementia, but dementia covers a number of diseases that include Alzheimer's disease, which covers about 50 to 70% of all dementia types. But there are a number of other types of dementia, including vascular dementia, frontal temporal dementia, and others.
But Alzheimer's is the most commonly encountered. And what is the difference? How do the signs and symptoms differ?
So the difference is both in how the brain changes due to the disease, and this is reflected on the symptoms that people experience. So, for instance, Alzheimer's disease, which was first described by Dr. Alzheimer's in the beginning of the 20th century, was found later in studies that investigated brains postmortem to have certain features. There were plaques in the brain tissue that were due to a protein that clumped together between the nerve cells, and inside the nerve cells, small strands of another protein called tau, which we call tangles. And these two features together determined the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. And it expresses in people who suffer from it as a difficulty in remembering events or names, and also in having low energy, apathy or depression, and later in the disease having impaired judgment, disorientation, confusion, and then again later in the disease there might be behavior changes as well as speaking difficulty, problems swallowing and walking.
And so roughly how many Australians have Alzheimer's and is their prevalence increasing?
There are currently about 300,000 Australians with dementia, and the projections are that there will be probably around 1 million Australians with dementia by the year 2050. It seems to be, certainly it's increasing because the population is ageing. It's influenced by risk factors, which seems to suggest that there might be a further increase as well in the number of cases.
So are you saying that Alzheimer's is a normal part of ageing? Does that mean we'd all get it if we lived long enough into our 90s?
Well, we not quite. We don't think that it's normal part of aging. It's an illness, it's a disease. However, if we live long enough, most people will develop some of the disease features that we find in the brain. But depending on individuals, these will lead to clinical dementia where people can't think effectively and can't live by themselves anymore, whereas in others, because they can compensate with what we call cognitive reserve or brain reserve, the wiring of the brain that has occurred throughout life, but particularly early on due to education and good lifestyle habits seems to protect some people. So in summary, it is a disease. It's not normal. But if we live long enough, yes, a large proportion of the population is likely to develop it.
Well, it's interesting to look at the literature. It seems that 60, the age of 60, seems to be a benchmark for the onset of what you professionals would term late life Alzheimer's. Is this, at the age of 60, reasonable for late life, given the baby boomer attitudes and our general dedication to physical activities?
It's quite possible that we should change the label, because you're right, now we consider the 60s closer to midlife than late life. This is a historical label. But an important point to make in this context is that really we should stop thinking that Alzheimer's disease and dementia in general are late life diseases. They express themselves later and typically more after the 60s, but really they develop throughout life. And if we think that it just happens later on, we might not decide to do something about it. If we know it starts early in life, possibly certainly early adulthood, but possibly before, given some of the research evidence we have, we really have to start doing something about it much earlier.
And is it familial?
Some aspects are genetic. What we call familial Alzheimer's disease is a very small proportion of the disease. Very few people suffer from it. Usually people know that it's happening in their families. It leads to what we call early onset dementia, which occurs before the 60s, but often in the 40s or 50s. It's quite different from talking about genetic factors leading to dementia. So there are risk factors, there are genes that increase our risk of developing dementia, but it's not the same as familial dementia.
How can a person assess whether they're at risk?
Ultimately, we are all at risk. There are a number of risk factors, and until recently, relatively little was known about what these risk factors were. But more and more research evidence, scientific evidence has been published and showed that there were a number of risk factors that we could assess. It was used to produce sort of a checklist on the internet to sort of quickly see if we had a higher risk. The problem with these tools were that they were not scientifically designed. They were not validated. We didn't know whether they would really predict a true risk or more generally give some guidance. So in our team, in collaboration with Karen Ansi, we have developed a tool which is called the ANU Alzheimer's Disease Risk Index, or ANU-ADRI for short, to assess risk exposure so that people can determine whether the risk factors they have might increase their risk of developing Alzheimer's disease later in life.
Let's talk about the tool now. Tell us a little bit about it. For example, the types of questions and how long it takes and how you get the results, how much does it cost, etc.
Okay. First, it's freely available on the internet. It's a tool that have developed in the last few years, but really relies on a vast amount of research that has been produced by various groups across the world in the last 20, 30, 40 years, and that we have tried to synthesize to produce a valid tool. So it covers the main risk factors that have been demonstrated to really increase the risk of Alzheimer's disease, mostly modifiable risk factors, because we were interested in developing a tool that provided a guidance on what to do to decrease our risk. And it covers some of the main risk factors: social engagement, depression, high cholesterol, cognitive engagement, and a number of others, physical activity. And there are 11 risk factors and 4 protective factors.
Perhaps we'll look at some of the specific risk factors a little later. Can we just go back to, if somebody's taking the test, how do they do it? How long does it take? How do you get the results?
Okay. So to take the test, one goes to our website on the internet. This is at anuadri.anu.edu.au. But if you just type ANU ADRI in your web browser, the first result that comes is this test. And there is some information about the risk factors, and then there is a button that says take the assessment. And one has to agree to the terms and conditions, and they're very simple and clear. And as I said before, it's freely available, and it takes about 20 minutes. And then one answers a number of questions about the different types of risk factors. And at the end, all these answers are computed into global measure or estimate of risk. And then you can produce a report that you can email or save to your computer or just view that gives some indication of what are your risk elements in your profile and what you're already doing quite right and you should keep doing the way you are. Then if you want further information, there are links to more pages on our website to learn more about the risk factors.
Should everyone over 60 do it?
Again, it's not just those over 60 because this is really a measure of future risk. So it's not just about saying, am I likely to develop Alzheimer's now? Mm. It's about saying, do I have a lifestyle, a profile that puts me at risk? And so we should think about these things earlier, either through reading information, learning about dementia, or taking our assessment. And based on this, hopefully we do everything right. But if we don't, it's never too late. And we should see how we can integrate the advice into our lifestyle.
Can I just ask, with the test itself, is it anonymous? What are the privacy considerations?
It is anonymous. So the user is completely free to register information that might identify them, such as an email address. But once they've gone through the whole assessment and viewed the report, if they have decided not to share the research data, which is generally speaking anonymous, we don't take name and surnames, all the data will be deleted. If they accept to share it with us, it will be saved. It will not have really information that identifies the user.
And it's quite an easy process. The way you described it, it sounds very easy to access and easy to run through. And that was ANU-ADRI in the search engine should bring it up.
That's right, in one word, and it will bring the tool as the first
Excellent.
Response.
And in our next program, I will continue this conversation with Dr. Nicolas Cherbuin from the Centre for Research on Ageing, Health and Wellbeing at ANU in Canberra. In that segment, Nick discusses in more detail the risk factors known to be associated with Alzheimer's disease. As well, he covers the protective factors that can help reduce the risk. He reiterates that the more individuals can incorporate these changes into their lives at an early stage, the better their long-term health prospects. This, in turn, will have an enormous impact on our society in the coming decades. And if you're interested in taking the test in the meantime, the easiest way is to enter the word ANUADRI into the search engine, and the page with the assessment tool will be featured.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.